end of the meeting today, we'll be looking at the second social report. We have invited the AG to come and interact with us as members of the portfolio committee to assist us to assess the department's performance on quarter two. I must mention that in the last meeting, I indicated that as we're interacting with AG, there was a request that probably could have a session in close where they can be able to interact with them because of the nature of the report that we are dealing with. The quarterly report is not it's not final audit, so avoiding situation where they can be posted out of context and might create problems. But unfortunately, we have tried to request the higher office to allow us to have that closed meeting, which we have not succeeded. So the meeting, that's why you will have PMG and others in our meeting, not a closed meeting. But we must accept that we do not have that interaction that we could have had when we were in closed doors. So, our sincere apologies to members, but we want to take this opportunity to thank the Auditor General to avail himself as we continuously requesting the assistance, their interaction with us, because we believe this partnership, it will help us to move it will help us to move forward in our quest to implement the laws of that we have in this house. And we want to take this opportunity to welcome you again. You know, I had mastered the name, your name, Madam, and now I propose Professor Kremlin. Mr. Fanny will have to introduce the rest of the team. you remember I usually call your name, but today is gone. The only person that I can remember is Fanny. So Fanny is a lucky man. Thank you very much, Mr. General and your team. I know that you've been interacting with members, you know them. I won't bore you in introducing them again. I'll hand it over to yourself. And sorry, my apology for not.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. It's amazing, Carl. She's our representative at this. I'm Fanny Cook. I'm the manager, senior manager. I'm this distant, Pingula. He's now taking over from Yvette Reynolds, the manager. And then we've got the presentations I deal with now for the PC's part from the office. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I hope that doesn't talk to my disability, that the Chair forgets my name. Because that will get me in trouble. Maybe I must just mention that Adil is here because normally when we talk about the MLRS, it's quite a contentious one, and whenever we call to Parliament, we call him to be on standby, and that's why he's here today, even though he has nothing to present. So just in case there's a question on that one. Chair, Honourable Member, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure and an honour for us to present to you. However, Commissioner has said, in terms of the legislation that guides us, the Auditor General's responsibility is to table all the reports in Parliament. And in terms of the legislation, the reports that are tabled by the Auditor General become are in the public domain. However, in terms of the quarterly reviews that we have done, similar to the one that we have done currently, because it's not a tabled report, we are not tabling a report in that regard. So the information that we have, we normally use to inform the audit that we do, we normally use to inform the audit report that we will sign off at the end of July and table in the annual report of the department or of the entity, so it is not in the public domain. And perhaps I should just take a step back and indicate that when we had engagement earlier with the portfolio committee, we had emphasized that the internal audit would be better placed to conduct these quarterly reviews together with the audit committee, so that the portfolio committee can then call internal audit and the audit committee to come in account when the department presents the quarterly report, and they can also present their report and give the portfolio committee assurance that they have put measures in place to make sure that processes that the department and entities put in place to ensure completeness and credibility of information that is being presented to Parliament were properly followed. On our side, what we then will do is to verify the work that was done by internal audit to make sure that the work that internal audit performed is also accurate and credible, and it made it possible for them to then pronounce credibility and completeness of the information that the department is presenting to Parliament. Chair, can I also through you just clarify that what we are presenting to Parliament based on the high-level review that we did on the quarter two report of the department is purely based on the report that the department will be presenting and has presented to us. So the department reported on their achievements for quarter two, which is what we reviewed. So we are not reporting on whether they achieved or they overachieved or they underachieved. We are reporting on whether what they have reported they can substantiate. It's valid, and we could test it to supporting documentation, and that's what we are verifying. But if they have underachieved for the quarter or for the 6 months, we did not look at that time. And again, my understanding is that what the department is reporting on in quarter two is based on the quarterly target and not on the yearly target. And let me give you an example. There are findings that indicate that some of the targets were achieved in quarter three. Yes, they were reported in quarter two. But overall, when we get to year end, the issue will be those targets were achieved within the financial year. Because the understanding is that what is in the APP must be achieved within the financial year. So at the end, when we report for the year, we will not be looking at whether it was achieved in quarter one or quarter three. We will be reporting on whether it was achieved in its totality. However, this process is to measure whether the department in every quarter, when they give themselves targets to achieve certain things in a quarter, they do have the discipline to achieve it, and they do not leave it for the last, because you find that when they leave it for the last quarter, they will not be in a position to achieve anything. And lastly, the other thing that is quite concerning and that we need to look at very closely is in terms of the department, the department's oversight over the entity and the projects that are of national interest. So that's something that we need to look at, whether the department is exercising its oversight over the entities and over the projects of national interest. So we will be reporting that particularly see a challenge in terms of capacity, warm bodies, and also in terms of skills. And we are working very closely with them to upskill them and to help them in terms of how they need to approach the audit of performance information. And we have proven through what they have done with us for this quarter that they are in a position to audit and report accurately on performance information. In fact, we have verified that their conclusions on quarter two report, we agree with them, and it's our conclusions on the quarter two report. So we will continue to evaluate that continuously so that the portfolio committee can also get comfort in the work that is done by internal audit. And with that, Chair, please allow me to hand over to Fanny to take us through what we have found in terms of quarter two preview.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We've got the slides on the screen there. This is just the first page of where we say briefing on the quarter two. Then the next slide is our reputation promise. The Audit General of South Africa is a constitutional mandate, and the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa exists to strengthen our contest of democracy by enabling its oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. The next slide is just the agenda. It's the audit of the performance information of the quarter two quarterly report of the department. The slide that's now on the screen is just to refresh the honourable members on the process of the audit of the predetermined objectives. Where we start with the oversight as a parliament, for a provincial legislature and municipal council, policy development, strategic planning, operational planning and budget, where they set targets, allocate resources, implementation and in-year reporting, year-end reporting, that's monitoring, take predictive action, then it assess and adjust, and then it goes back again to strategic planning for the next year. So it's every year it's the same process as follows. The next slide, today we just again highlight the legislative requirements for predetermined objectives, what the AGSA is, the Constitution, Chapter 9, and the Public Audit Act, and for the departments, the Public Finance Management Act, Treasury Regulations, Public Service Regulations, and FMPPI. So that's what they use to compile their predetermined objectives. On the next slide, is also then just our audit process, also just for refreshment, I think during the training session, it was gone through on this in detail. So it's just to understand the design of and implementation of the performance management systems, process and relevant controls, testing usefulness of the information, that's the measurability, relevance, presentation, consistency of planned and performance information, conclude on the usefulness, test the reliability of the information, and then conclude on the reliability of the information. That's the, just on the on.
Honourable Chair, my apologies. I forgot to profusely apologize for lack of documentation to the members. And I can see the discomfort in the members. I know that you have given the background, and I also tried to give the background, but we didn't talk about the non-distribution of the documents. And I hope the members do understand that we will not be distributing documents today, and I profusely apologize for that. I think in future we will work with internal audit. The documents would rather come from internal audit as they would have conducted the review. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. If we just go to the next slide again, this is just the audit outcomes of 2014-15, where we, what we've reported on the usefulness, on the measurability, that we report on 20% of the targets not measurable. It was a specific on program 5 that was the issue last under what we reported on. And we look at the reliability. The reliability for validity, accuracy, and completeness was only on program 4, where we put into verified source documentation, or it was in the next financial year. So the completeness was not correct on program 3 for the previous year. So that's just to give feedback on what was reported on last year. We go to the first slide of the quarterly report. We talk about program 2, agricultural production and health and food safety. Just the honourable members, the honourable chair, for the quarter 2, there was 9 targets that they had to report on. Out of the 9 targets, we only found one of the targets that was not correctly reported on. That's why we get to the 11% of reported targets not consistent with approved annual performance plan. And if you look at the schedule in there, the APP says 2 plant improvement schemes monitored, that's seeking through. The quarter 2 targets for the APP monitoring report on seed and fruit schemes. And then the performance target for the quarter report, monitoring report on seed and fruit schemes was compiled. So we say what they reported on is not in line with APP. But as Macy said, most of these things can be rectified to the end of the financial year. So this can fall away with the final report on the final order. So that's where that is 11% is one of 9 targets. And on the next slide is program 3, it's food security and agrarian reform. There we talk about just 6 targets tested for quarter 2. Only one of the targets we noticed some deficiencies. That gives us a 17%, and then we say the 7% of reasons for variances could not be provided. And then the target there is policy on compliance to reduce the development to support develop. And then target quarter 2 target is draft of comprehensive producer development support policy consulted internally. And then the chief, and then they start talking about the terms of reference for comprehensive producer development support project plan and policies principles were presented to EXCO, which approved the terms of reference on 5 October 2015. That's where we say it should not, they reported in quarter 2 for this achievement, they should have reported in quarter 3, but by year end it still will be reported on as achieved. In the, we say yes, the internal consultation was done during quarter 3, so that then as they reported in the incorrect quarter, they haven't given us reasons for not achieving in quarter 2. Then program 4 is a trade promotion and market access. There we've tested 12 targets for quarter 2. Only one of the targets we noted deficiencies. That gives us 8% of reported targets not reliable. So the target was SA GAP certification program implemented for small older producers of fresh produce. And then they said that quarter 2 targets, 10 farms were audited, 6 final audits and 4 pre-audits for the SA GAP program. And then a total of 6 farms are SA GAP certified. The achievement, 10 farms were audited, 6 final audits and 4 pre-audits for the SA GAP program. A total of 6 farms are SA GAP certified. So they report on exactly on what they sent out in quarter 2. What we actually picked up is that 4 of the pre-audits for the SA GAP program were reported in quarter 2, only 3 could be verified. But if we go to the next bullet, there we say a total of 6 farms reported as SA GAP certified, however we identified that 7 farms were certified. So they expect technically, I think the one on bullet 2 should move to bullet 1, so that will also be sorted out by the end of this financial year. other affected of the agricultural land rehabilitated. The target for a year is 16,000. Target for quarter two is 4,000 hectares, and they achieved 4,129.86 hectares. Now the deficiency that we've identified is, again, is fully one of the supporting evidence for the quarter target in quarter two was dated October and November, therefore the target should actually be reported quarter three. And then we say 50% of the quarter target could not be verified to letters of acknowledgement. So then we had a lack of letters that we could verify the 4,000 hectares that they achieved. And as we say, the king on this program can be rectified by the final year report. That is our conclusion on the quarter two performance information as by departments that they've achieved. Thank you, honourable.
Thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, that was the report. I'll now invite questions and clarifications. Honourable Faye and Honourable McCurtain.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I just want to question on the last one, the hectares. If you say the letters could be verified or something, and yeah, in the past there was issues with ID numbers and wrong information, and so I just want to clarify, you know, the terms. It always takes a bit of a while to understand the terms that you guys use, because I remember there was an issue with clarification in the past, so if that could just be verified, please.
Yeah, just a further explanation on what you said. What's the surname? Fane is the name. What's the surname? Cook. Mr. Cook, you said the report was on quarter three instead of quarter two. If you can explain that, if that may not have impact at the end of the financial year. I mean, if this quarter is reported in another quarter, and again and again and again, what then happens at the end of the financial year? The second one would be, I can't remember whether it's quarter three that you were saying. Out of six targets, there was only one with deficiency. Meaning that the five are okay. Is it possible to say what is this problem with this target, one target, that is the deficiency? I sense that in, I think it's five, but you have six, and then deficiency is one. If I've been, I got to correctly. Well, I got a three and got a five. That has a problem of one deficiency, and the rest are okay. But if you explain the first one, that is clear. We got a three, it's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. On the ID numbers, what the department did this year, they could have gone into the website and verified the correctness of the ID numbers. What we will do at here in the game, like last year, so the ID numbers are correct and valid, but what we will test at here in by our tests that we do, to go and see again if they have deceased IDs into that population. That's what the Honourable Member talked about. That was the ID, that was the problem last year on the ID numbers. There was ID's and people that's really old. So that we will do at the end of the year. But what we will also done is do is this call for after quarter three, we'll do the CAS. And just as a value add to the department, say this is what we picked up on the ID numbers. This is on the receipt. Because they don't have that, they can't go into that depth into the ID numbers. They don't have the authority to do that. They're still applying for it. So up to when they get permission to go into that depth, we will assist them via our audit process to see what they can actually exclude, and then explain why those, if there's money being paid for those deceased people, then they must explain it. But that we will do more to the end of the financial year. That's on the ID numbers. I think where they've addressed part of it, not a part, hopefully they get the authority to go to the public affairs database, they can do that. On the quarter three, quarter two, ideally it won't have any effect because it's during the year. So if it's only, it should have been in quarter two, but it's in quarter three, they should report in quarter two. But if it's going at the end of the year, it will be the total numbers for the year. So it's not going to have any impact. What can have an impact is they've got things that they, after the year, and then they put it into this financial year. That will be a problem. So that we look at, when we do our audit process, we look at the completed and the cut-offs to make sure that what they report on is in this financial year. But they, if a document is signed after 31st of March, next financial year, it should be in the next financial year. So that we will do with our audit process when we get to the final. The one out of the six, yeah. As I said, there's six targets. On all the six targets, we've done our audit process. Only one out of the six grabbed that deficiency. We will say on this topic, the sole reporting documentation could not be verified like that. That's the only thing. That's the deficiency that we talked about.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Thank you, the acting chair. I thought it would also be a good opportunity to ask some questions now about moving of funds for the drought, chair, because I think it's an ideal opportunity so that we know how we deal with it. How did you, as the Auditor General's office, deal with something like that? Because we have been getting reports from the department that 20% of the province's cost funding will be moved. So obviously the targets won't be achieved and things like that. So to give us some idea of how do you handle it and how do we need to look at that. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it happened, I think, in quarter three already, as I said, but obviously quarter three and quarter four, funding will be moved. I don't know if they will move it to another department or to another sector or where they will move it for, but we have already received those reports.
You want to deal with that? Okay.
Thank you, Shane. Before I deal with it, and perhaps I should also indicate that the timing of the review must also be taken into account, because the team received the document from the department about a week and a half ago, and they were chasing information to be able to do a proper review. However, this review was done at a very, very high level, and as Mr. Fox has indicated, the detailed audit will now follow. Obviously, where the department cannot get the information that they need for them to verify certain things and for them to get into the discipline of their daily, weekly, monthly reconciliations that we talk about, we will help to the extent that it's possible. However, we also need to consider that these resources from our side, they take time and resources that will cost money as well. And that's why the intervention is not as early as you would expect for the department to take proper corrective action. But as Bunny is saying, we are working with the department and assisting them to the extent that is necessary. possible. In terms of the moving of funds, I believe that the shifting of funds is regulated. So obviously we will look at it in terms of the regulation. We will also look at it in terms of the approval processes as well. Because if the department is not going to move funds that are intended for service delivery, there should be certain processes that need to be followed in terms of getting approval. And when we audit, we are not management. We cannot take decisions. However, we need to audit and report whether there is compliance in terms of any activity that is done by the department that is regulated. So we will audit compliance accordingly and report accordingly. And when we identify and there is a need to elevate, we then will elevate to the interested parties. We are currently busy with an internal audit, and we will take this information into account when we conduct the audit, so that when we engage with the minister at the end of this internal audit, we can then give the minister the feedback that is required. And if there is any need to elevate to parliament, we then will do so in accordance with the prescriptions and the regulations. I hope that responds to Mrs. Singh's question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No follow-up. No questions. Chair, questions were answered, and there was a follow-up question, well, another question from honorable members who has responded around the start, and now they're going to deal with it in terms of the budget. So that's it. No other member wants to ask questions. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable members and the AG, we have noted that we will not interact with you during quarter report, and by the internal audit and the audit committee, of course, of the. Because there is an audit committee of the department, and we want to sincerely thank you for supporting us throughout the process, because this department at some point didn't have the internal audit. You just appointed the director, and the audit committee has not been functional. And we hope you've done your part. Thank you very much. We'll interact annually on the after you've tabled your report. But I think meeting between me and yourself, she's not so bad. Thank you very much. You are
a
the meeting, honorable members, I would like to table the apology of the believing us at 10:11 as we return the meeting equal 20 days. I've got an appointment, doctor's appointment at 12 o'clock. I must arrive at 10:12. So if we are not done, I'll take it over the chair. Can we then proceed, honorable members? That was the presentation from Auditor General. Honorable members, before even we go into the get the start to give the analysis, you remember we had requested that the report. The report that we must receive from the department must have financial attachment. The program must be accompanied by, the activities must be accompanied by the financial, so that we are able to monitor the performance information financial information. So the report that you have, members, it's upon you to judge. I'm not going to judge whether you have, you see those financial, I've tried to look at them, I can't see them. So the report that we're supposed to deal with is still the information. We're still continuing as the we are not happy with how the report is being presented, because we get information, we get financial reports, which does not actually assist us to monitor the appropriate money that we have actually proposed to this parliament to appropriate for the department. So what we do, remember.
Honorable Cheng, I totally agree with you. I find it quite difficult to keep track when we have to deal with these quarterly reports. In the past, we either get either the financials or we get the non-financial performance, but to put the two things together in a quarterly report is very challenging. I also find that because the presentations never speak to the track plans or the annual performance plans, it's difficult. So I don't know if when the department actually come and do a presentation on the quarterly reports, if that is the prescribed way. Maybe we must ask the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, because they do come on a yearly basis and talk about that, to inform us what is the prescribed way or method that the departments are supposed to do it, because they must definitely also have a way or method to understand when the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation come and do their yearly report to us on the department, how are they dealing with this? Because I really find it challenging. I think we need to start with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation coming in, looking at the quarterly reports that we receive from the department and trying to assist us with the department in the way that they present it to us. I also agree with you. It's very challenging.
with the non-financial performance and cost, as it is. So can we then look at the report, officials, do we have anything to remember? The content advisor will give the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and morning, members, and colleagues, and guests. I'm speaking on this one for members. Previously, the committee, I think, have also mentioned that the department in future presentations should align its performance and progress reports to the MDP and the MTSF, which are also linked to the ministers and the senior officials' performance agreements. So the brief that I have prepared is focused mainly on the MTSF targets for the department and how the department is responding to those in its APP and also through the annual report. I won't go through the first and the second page because it's just the background and just lays out the outcomes that apply to the department and the actual targets for the department that should be achieved by 2019. So the department should be acting on those on an and also reporting on these on an annual basis. Before I go to the targets, I just want to highlight to the members that we found that there are some anomalies in terms of the targets that the department reported when you compare them to the APP. The APP that we are using is the one that was tabled in March as a parliament rule, and that was also presented to the committee on the 24th. However, on the 9th July, during recess, the department did table a revised APP and strat plan. But those were not referred to the committee, so the committee had nothing to do with those. We're not sure what the contents are because we not consider documents that have not been referred to the committee. So it is just my assumption that the anomalies between the some of the targets that are reported in the report that members have against the APP are different. For example, the department reported a total of 59 targets for quarter two. I, as my colleague might have different numbers, I'm not sure, but I have 61 from the APP that members have in total. And the team members, you will notice
before,
from the...
Before you pass the... Let's add this one first. The APP and the third time that was tabled later revised, it was tabled through Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
But then, whose problem is this? It can't be the departmental problem now. It will be the Parliament's problem. Where is those APCs and structures? Because who cannot say they table them, can't find them. So
they should, the store, I know after some time they get rid of them. They don't keep them until the whole year. But we saw it, the reason that we know it's because we saw it in the ATC. But Trey, what usually happens if the department has to retable an APP or a threat plan, there has to be an explanation to that. Because the committee hasn't recommended that the department must revise the APP that was tabled earlier in March. The committee actually considered that and adopted and approved the budget of the department based on that AP, on this APT that we are all referring to. So that's why if it's not referred to the committee, then the committee can't do that. Because it was in the ATC, the committee can ask the department what was the reason, because it was not provided with the ATC.
No, but you see, the problem that I'm having will be which APP are we following now? Because if the department was allowed to change, you see, the problem is that immediately get tabled. Mm-hmm. And you cannot, the only way to reject it is through the process again. Mm-hmm. But you cannot see somewhere and not be attended to, and continue operating like there is no other APC or threat plan that has been came. Honourable State.
Chairperson, yes, I think we need to write to the Speaker or whoever deals with things like that. How do we deal with that? Is it legally even allowed that departments can tail another APC later? Because there must be some kind of legal requirement then. I also saw it last year, but I thought now I'm lost again. I don't understand what's going on. I was concerned that there's a new APP that was tabled, but I thought maybe it's just because the process wasn't properly followed in the beginning and it's the restabling of the first one. So we can't get hold of the second one. What is the issue with the second one? Because I still work on one. I don't know which one I'm working on. And I think that's part of the confusion now. We're not sure even on which one are we working on. That would have been a good question, actually, to the Auditor General's office. Which one are they working on? Because that can also cause confusion later in the year when we get the final Auditor General's report. So I would propose, Chair, that we write to whoever in Parliament deals with things like that. I don't know the Speaker or the Chair of the Chairs of where does it sit. Find out if it's legally allowed for a department to table another APP later in the year after we've already approved and worked with the
department. The person can do that. The process is that the PSMA allows them. If they find that in their program they want to add anything, they can add them carefully to Parliament. And to come to the same process through the process that it has followed when we engage with you. We're supposed to engage with that amendment and let the committee agree and table it again to the House. So that's why I'm saying for me, it's a mess, the fact that you're going to have a problem with the Auditor General because we're not sure whether he's using which APP. And ourselves, we will assess the department with the wrong APP, and then it'll be a problem. And now it's not a... And you cannot then put the blame to the department. People who are supposed to refer them to us, I think there is a problem which needed to be addressed, I think, with the office. One of these offices in this Parliament. You remember, members, we had two letters that we've received them after expiry date.
one was supposed to nominate for land bank and NAMA. So we end up the last one with the land bank, we couldn't participate because we end up saying what is it that our participation is just useless because already the deadline has passed on. So I think with that one we've raised, because it was directly Office of the Speaker, we've raised it with the Speaker's assistance. I think even this one we'll actually go to chair of chairs of whoever is responsible, just to assist us so that we are able to deal with the correct report. So I'm not sure then what we do now. We continue with the old report, or what we do?
Chair, if the department is allowed to do that, we can't continue with our old report. We will have to deal with the new report. When we do the quarterly reports, we will have to measure it against the new reports. Otherwise, we're going to accuse them of something maybe that doesn't happen. I think we will have to get the new report, and then from now on, luckily it's not a very long time, but it's going to have to impact on the Auditor General's report. Maybe we must write to the Auditor General's office and ask them when they do the assistance, if it's on the new report. Because I can now remember that even last year, when the Auditor General came to do a presentation at the end of the year, that they said there was a confusion because they worked on a wrong report, even last, the previous financial year. But that was the internal fault of the department themselves, giving the Auditor General the wrong report.
Sylvia Cocasin, and maybe get the documents a week before we meet them. I think it's going to be very helpful.
We'll try our best, but with these technical challenges, it might not be possible. Because if, for instance, the department has responded, has given a report based on the old APP when there is new, even their report must be redone. So you have that technical problem. So, but the principle of receiving documents in time should be the sending issues in this committee. I think what staff must do is to make sure that if we schedule a meeting, the department has not given you information in time. So schedule other things than, so that we don't continuously dealing with issues like emergency every day. We cannot have an emergency every day.
on your note, statement that the department might have prepared report on the first IDP. That can't happen because they know that they're working on the second one. That's why they gave us the second one. And I think that's where we need to put down our foot. We might be working on the wrong one. But if they have tabled the second one, obviously they must be working on the second one. They can't tell us that they have worked out on something in the first one. It's our problem if we're working on the first one. But they can't confuse us then more and say they tabled the second one, but they're still working on the first one. Then there's something wrong in their office.
The technicality is that you're supposed to have approved it before they can use it.
No, I know.
So you see, they can say we're not using it because Parliament has not approved it. So that's why I'm saying we have to check and be sure.
Yeah.
And the official should help us to, as you give us the new one, take those old ones so that we don't get confused there. Because I mean, they are the cover in my plan, they are the same and all those things.
Yeah.
So as you give us the new one, take the old one. Make sure that the member gives you the old one so that we are working from the same page in the near future. So we were supposed to interact with the department next Tuesday. In terms of our program, because we thought it would be important to look at the second quarter and even get the response from the department in terms of the solar, their readiness to implement what the president has presented to Parliament. But again, to get the feedback of what they've done, looking at the outstanding issues in the last nine-point plan, recovery, the plan for the economy, as tabled by the president in the last summer. So we're going to have those. If we get documents as soon as possible, we can be able to deal with them both. But if we can't get those documents, we'll deal with the issue of solar only in next week. So I just wanted to clarify that. Is this okay, members?
Yeah.
Okay. Honorable
Chair, I'm trying to find out if we have an updated program of meetings. I know that last time there was probably one or two things that needed to be clarified.
No, we have the updated program, but it's not been adopted by the way by this committee. You know the system of Parliament. We submit to the chair of chairperson. Then the committee of presentations, because at the time they need the stuff already submitted to the JD. The program, the proposed program. But in essence, members, we said that because we don't have enough time in terms of our Tuesdays, because our meeting are scheduled for Tuesdays as agriculture, fishery and forest. What we'll then do on Friday, we'll use the annual, usually we meet with them annually in our structure. Which in terms of the budget and the logistics, you cannot accommodate all your stakeholders in those meetings. We'll continue, I still have some few representatives, but for us to continue to dialogue with our stakeholders, it will be important that we utilize at least Friday 2 hours for just to know them and the condition of on how they operate and if the support, what support they get from the department and how we then help them to make sure that our sector grows and there is that prosperity in our country with our sector contribution. So that's how we thought the program would look like. But the other important factor that the chair of chairs has raised was that the there is a need for joint coordination with other portfolio committees, because most of our work are interrelated. So continuously we'll identify issues that affect particular portfolio committees, then we'll then have a joint meeting with that portfolio committee. And we've started already with the workshop that we had on food security. We'll continuously identify other relevant portfolio committees and say issues, and then we factor them in the program. So that is how we our program will be structured. So the issue of Friday, we want members to confirm it, because it's not our day. Either we take one Friday per month or two Fridays per month, or we take all the Fridays. It depends on members, because it will be regrettable to call stakeholders to Parliament and the portfolio committee members to find that we are only three or two. So that's something that needs confirmation from the member. Honourable Singh?
Chairperson, I don't have a problem if we meet on Friday, but then we must ensure that our Tuesdays are properly utilised. This thing that we sometimes get a notice, you know, on a Friday or whatever, the department's not ready or whoever we were supposed to see on a Tuesday, and then we basically do nothing on a Tuesday. Is what frustrates me. I don't mind working on Fridays, especially if we deal with stakeholders, but then we must ensure that our programs for Tuesday are fully utilized. That really frustrates me if we cancel a Tuesday meeting and then meet on Friday because we can't fit in our program.
Our Tuesday, we should utilize them. But now it's too little, because the system started 14 hours. Mm-hmm. If we engage departments, we usually even cut questions and
were trying, one of the things that we were trying to do is to give mamas more time to deal with the report itself, and so that we formulate questions that were sent to the department to say, out of the report that you're sending to us, this is the questions that we are sending to you, so that when they come, then they'll respond to those first questions, the first questions that we have sent, and members will then have the follow-up opportunity to ask questions. So the program is being distributed, one of the things that we as I said, like in terms of stakeholders, so we must confirm whether we take all Fridays, one Friday per month or two Fridays per month, so that the program can reflect that.
Chair, I'm supposed that we leave at least one Friday a month out so that we can do some other work that we either exactly there's enough work that we can do. I see Albertina tight. But if there is want to do every second Friday, I'll be happy with that, but my proposal would be stretching.
At least they are, we are seen to have allocated some time to interact with the stakeholders, given the limited time that the chair is saying we already have. But I think two prizes, and you can see we already agree, will work well for us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. I'm covered by one of the two prizes. Yes.
So it's the consensus that we agree that to the two prizes per month, then meeting with stakeholders. Unfortunately, for which Fridays won't consult you, please don't. So we'll just pick up Fridays and then put it on the program. So the program, as you receive, then will then change in terms of the those Fridays as we've agreed. But for this Friday, we have agreed that we, because of the drought challenge that we have invited the Grain Association just to come and share with us what they experienced. And I'm told that it's confirmed. So members, please, let's start this Friday. We'll limit the hours so that at least by 12 o'clock we are out of here. So start this line, finish at 12 o'clock. Honorable Jay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was not aware that we were going to start for the storm. Because can I just apologize for this Friday?
Thank you, Chin. No, I'm happy with that. I'm just looking at the program. Oh, it seems to be considered the venue because sometimes we must try, if we know that we're going to stick to that, to get bigger venues. It's very difficult sometimes if we sit in and there's lots of interest in a meeting stakeholders, because I think this one would also be one that we look at least the bigger venue. Some of these venues are favorable that we're using. If we have a program, we'll try and get better venues in future. Thank you, Chair.
So I agree fully with you, Honorable State. The other thing is the application, you know, because sometimes you invite people and then you write application later. What is the intention? How is this going to start? I think we should apply first and then get permission,
yeah.
And then we then put the mission up.
Yeah.
So that we don't have that embarrassment.
Yeah.
So we apply to court.
everyone. I have two members that have received the minutes before.
Yeah. Okay.
Page 2. And page 3. Can we get a move on for the adoption of the minutes? Those that were in the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 20th November 2015 as outlined. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Connor. Honorable Yonglu.
I second the proposal that we adopt the minutes.
Thank you. The minutes are accordingly adopted. Can we look at the... The minutes of the 3rd of November. So let's look at the minutes of the 3rd of November. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. No correction. Can we get the mover for the adoption?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 3rd November
2015.
Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Chair. Yes.
Thank you very much. The minutes are fully adopted. The program as distributed members will be adopted with that understanding of two Fridays, and then we'll actually present properly in the next meeting, so that we don't confuse members. The other thing, honourable members, is the outstanding issues that we have looked at the decisions that were been taken in the committee, which department were supposed to respond, and we have identified all those issues. So, without giving you a copy, we will write through the secretary, write to the department, asking them to respond to those issues, how far are they in implementing those recommendations of the committee. That was the last issue, honorable member. Any other thing, honorable member? I could see that honorable to stay here to really close the deck. The meeting is seated again. Thank you very much.
My mother tells me I'm not a gangster, I'm a dealer.